Amen. You may be seated. I'm going to ask our brother Sam Chung to come again this week and deliver the word of God to us. Welcome back, brother.
Okay, it's good to be with you. Let's read God's word together first. Selected scriptures coming from Genesis 1 and following, verse 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. And God blessed them. And God said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the heavens and over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God said, "Behold, I have given you every plant yielding seed that is on the face of all the earth, and every tree with seed in its fruit. You shall have them for food." And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And there was evening and there was morning, the sixth day. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in that day you eat of it, you shall surely die." 1 Corinthians 15. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule, every authority, and power. For he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. Amen. If you weren't here last week, last Lord's Day and today, I am talking about the topic of death. Why death? Once again, at the time that I was giving the passage, that's what I was thinking about a month ago or so. So last week we talked about how in dying, Jacob worshipped God. And we talked about everything that was involved in that verse. And today, I am going to supplement through these chosen texts, what Bible says about death. And obviously, this is the very foundation of Christian understanding of God and life in Christ, etc., etc. I'm glad young men and women are sitting here today with us. And I talked about how last Sunday, one of the things that not a Christian man, but ethics teacher when I was in junior high really got me thinking about death when I was 14 years old by telling us that you are not growing up, but you are actually dying in the process of growing up. It was such a radical, radical view. Even though at the time I was going to church, I never really thought about death. I was 14. Another incident came when I was young, a little bit older, but got me thinking. At the time, there was no death in the family except my grandfather on maternal side. But after graduating from high school in Texas, I went back to Korea to celebrate. By that I mean to sin. Okay, I went back to my home country and I met up with all of my friends and just to, you know, have fun. At the time, it was 97, and that's when the cell phones would start coming out, big ones. And I possessed one, and one of my friends from that junior high called me. And I still remember that morning, and I woke up because that person was calling, and I pushed the enter, and I was listening to his voice. He said, "Do you know such and such from our junior high?" At the time, people were already in college, and I was going into college. So I said, "Sure." He was one of my, you know, best friends. But I haven't seen him for, at the time, about 6 years or so. And now, he said, relaying the message to me, he died, he said. And I utter shock. I said, why, when, where? And he told me he was in the army. All men must go to army in my country, back in home country. He was in the army. And I will save you the details. But he died in just accident. Accident not from jumping off from the airplane or anything like that, but he died in a normal course of the day. Once again, I am not going into the detail, but very gruesome death, painful death. So I believe at the time, whole of my junior high student friends got together, probably 100 of them. So we were there in that army hospital, and I was about 19 or so, and people were crying. Everybody was crying. It was hot summer. He was the only child, mom, single mom. No father, no siblings, nothing left for mom. Very bad and sad situation. So I still remember the mom's cry, that wailing. You know, it's really shrieking. You just cannot bear that. So people were just drinking and having whatever. And at the end of like 3 days of that term was over, they sent the body to the crematory to cremate the body. And I went there with my friends. Until then, I was kind of, sad, but not really. You know, I haven't seen him for a while. Best friend in junior high. But, you know, it was a big crematory, and there was names and hundreds of them, bodies going in. It was a horrible place to be. And the number said, blinking, after an hour or so, that is done already. And I went in with my friends and families, whatever, we went in. And I don't know what the experience is here, but there, they pull out that little tube out of that furnace, and they actually show you. They show you the bones. And that's when I had my breakdown. Mother fainted. Girlfriend fainted, and all of us, especially me at the time, I have never seen in our culture, we do not hear, when you have a funeral, you have viewing. You mummify the body, and everybody sees the dead person in funeral. It's not like that in Asia. Everything is closed casket. Only persons, people who are going to see the dead body is the immediate family. Not even grandchildren, nobody, but immediate family only. So when I still remember that door opened, a guy was there trying to pull out the plate, and I saw, what did I see? My best friend at the age of 19, dead, cremated, and bones, powder of bones. And there are some. That's when I had my breakdown too. It's one thing to imagine death, but it's another thing to see my friend, not dead, but in powder, white bones. I'm sorry if you're young people who are here. I'm really sorry to say this, but it shocked me. And I broke down there and crying for the sadness too. But what really got me thinking at the time was nothing other than this meaninglessness. I was asking, my friend, we did all the things together and we grew up and we did whatever we had to do to survive and to be successful at the age of trying to be successful. All those things to be a powder of bones, that's what I was saying. That's how you're going to end up? This is what life is about, I asked. Just powder of bones. And after that experience, that summer's over and I went back to Texas to start my college years in Austin, Texas. So that event really got me thinking. So throughout the fall semester, I was dealing with the meaninglessness of life. At the time, I was a Christian, I believe, just going to church. But attending church, and I think I shared a little bit how I became Christian when I was here in the spring. And all those that events led me to, I think, Christ. Now, death is going to come, believe it or not. Young and old, men and women, rich or poor, whatever it is, background, we are all going to die. And today, I'm going to talk about again, death. At the time, about a month ago, I was thinking about these things. At the time, I read a book on death. I've never read a book on death. Have you? Probably have, or pastors have, who preached on death. But I never have really, you know, thought about death in death. And ironically, I believe even the church, we talk about Jesus' death and resurrection all the time, gospel. I don't think we really talk about death, our death, physical death, spiritual. And as I was reading a book by John Wyatt, I think that's his name, the title of the book was Dying Well. I recommend that book, and I did not know death was that complicated. And he was a Christian surgeon in Britain, and he wrote a book recently, and it got me thinking about the whole aspect of death. A few things. There are stages of death. Hospice care, palliative care, debates about when does life begin, when and what constitutes death, and preparation for death. So sermons and Bible verses could help in these stages or aspects of death, such as physical death, dying process, emotional side that people deal with, spiritual side, even though I do not want to distinguish this hard and fast and physical, emotional, but we understand what he's talking about. Physical side, emotional side, spiritual side. What about practical side? How do you care for someone? Where and when he will die, she will die, who's going to pay, how he's going to, all these aspects better to be discussed before things happen. And legal side of it. Then I was just thinking about all this about a month ago, and I closed my eyes. It's a fantastic book, evangelical book, dealing with all these issues, mature Christian, yet medical doctor who's gone through so much of this over and over again. I mean, it was such a nice, nice book to read about death. And I closed my eyes because it was just too much. Too much to process, too much to talk about. And I closed my eyes and I thought about, what do I know about death from the Bible? Obviously, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not anything. So I decided to talk about death from the Bible. And the very first word that came to my mind when I closed my eyes to think about this death was this. Bible is obsessed with the topic. That was my one line in my head. Bible is obsessed, really think about it. Bible is obsessed with the topic of death from the beginning to the end, and this topic pervades every facet of our Christian religion, when you really think about it. So, from these texts, I want to draw our attention to three aspects of death. First is, death is unnatural. Second, death died, it's death. And thirdly, death is our last enemy. And depending on the time, I may talk about fourth or not. But these are the big pictures that we all know. But it's good to be reminded of from the Bible. Now, I've chosen Genesis, early chapters of Genesis here. We know how death came in. There was a serpent who seduced our first parents, and they disobeyed. And in result of that rebellion against God, sin and death came into that paradise, you know. So from Bible's perspective, from the very get-go of human history, and we believe Genesis 1 to 3 and all these first 11 chapters of Bible as historical facts, right? It's not a myth. It's not anything. It is historical fact. We believe that. And death is the result of spiritual relationship with God and how that is broken. And as a result of it, it comes in. But in Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 29, verse 31, and chapter 2, verse 15 to 17, I chose that to show you something that is not normally seen. Not reading the whole thing, but let me read you just a couple of verses to get us thinking. Verse 26 says, "Let us make man in our image And you have to think, what is created in creation narrative after God's image? Nothing really else. Only us human beings, our first parents, are the ones who are really made in God's image. You know that. And what is that image? You could talk about it in America, but that's not my concern today. But we are the only ones, human beings are the only ones that were made in God's image. In after our likeness, God says. And it says, and let them have what? Dominion over the creation. Okay? Create all these animals and birds, living livestock, everything creeping on earth. You have dominion over them. What else is given that kind of dominion? Really nothing else, no one else but human beings. First, we are made in the image of God. And God has given us, well, his first parents, the dominion of all the creation. That's why we are not waging war against animal kingdom. Even the movies would say otherwise. Planet of Apes and all that. But we are not waging war against the animal kingdom. And male and female, verse 27, he created them. And obviously we have to emphasize that this day and age. God created human beings in male and female. And verse 28, what does he do? I just go run around in my paradise. Does God say that? No. Verse 28 says, God blessed them. So you and I understand, blessing of God is not simply a remedy to fix the curse. This is a pre-fall situation. That basically tells us all of us need God's special revelation. God is speaking. The purpose of life comes from God, the Creator God. And we need God's blessing from the beginning. And we were created to enjoy God and God in God's blessing and to be confirmed in that blessing. So we understand that. I'm trying to draw your attention to the fact that really human beings were special. And God speaks, God blesses them and God speaks to them. And verse 29 says, behold, I have given you every plant for your as your food, for your food. Okay? And chapter 1, verse 31, it was very good. And there is warning of curse and all that. I want to draw our attention to this. Often when we talk about death, deception, disobedience, rebellion, and death, immediately when we talk about Genesis 1 and 2 and 3, what is always being discussed when we talk about it? Always we talk about, I believe many of us, or most of the time talk about, did God know? Did God know that our first parents were going to fall? So it concerns knowledge of God. If he knew, why did he plant that tree, giving them the device by which they are going to fall? So if he provided that device, he is the author of sin. God is not fair. If he knew, why would you put a plant? If you're a parent, why would you give a gun to your young child? If they know they're going to harm themselves. So in this narrative, often what we are dealing with is the knowledge of God or decree of God. So in theology, when you start learning and reading theology, did God know? Election comes before or after God permitting the fall and all that lapsarianism. That's a big word and a big debate. You have to wrestle with that and all. But I believe what we are missing in this text talking about death is I want you to see God here as not simply God the Creator, but God the Father. You miss that? You miss the whole picture. It becomes basically a theological debate. Did God know? Why? Why? Why would you do that? Goodness of God, author of sin, all that debate after debate, debate, all the while what you and I are missing in the introduction of sin and death, you and I do not understand. God is the father of Adam. We tend to see God as creator, and Adam, human being. So they disobeyed. Well, God warned them, so that's what you deserve. But if you understand all the blessings that were in place for human beings, stages that God made ready for them, right? The last creation that God makes so that these human beings are going to rule as a vice regents of God to the glory of God, have perpetual communion with God in life, in goodness of God. So when death is introduced, what do you think had happened to God or God's heart? It's not simply debate, but I want you to know when death is introduced, God's heart is broken. God is mad. God is angry, not simply at Adam and Eve. God comes after them and speaks the gospel later. But can you understand? Can you try to see the glimpse of God's fatherly love and affection toward his creation? And when sin comes, how that disrupts God's holy and perfect good creation? You think God simply forces himself and says, oh, I knew he was going to sin, so here it comes, death. Oh, then let me introduce Messiah 3:15, Genesis, and Proto-Evangelion, and all that good stuff, redemptive history starts. No. When death is introduced, God is horrified, just as if you are a parent. If you see your child die in front of you, how would you feel? That's the same thing that God feels. You understand that? So death is unnatural, but it is a weak way of saying it. God is simply just devastated if we limit understanding of God as Father here. It's unnatural. It goes against everything God intended for Adam. It goes against God's holy and perfect creation. Now, another thing that I don't think we understand God in this sense, in this context is this. We all know God is not simply angry, but God is holy. Thrice holy God. Holy, holy, holy. If you have read R.C. Sproul's Holiness of God, God is extremely holy. So pervasive attribute of God is holiness, he says. God is not love, 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 but holy, holy, holy. Thrice, three times in Hebrew language is to go to superlative or extreme degree. God is extremely holy. But what we don't understand is this. When we say, oh, that person is wise, we tend to think human being holy or wise in terms of, oh, he's this much holy, this much wise. But for God, in the doctrine of God, what we learn from doctrine of God is every attribute of God in and of itself, each one exhausts God's being or coterminous with God's being. What that means is, if we say God is holy, God is not in composite holy here, wise here, good here, percentage of God is that and becomes a God. No. Well, when we say God is holy in his entire being. When God is wise, God is not made up of wisdom here, but he is wise in his entirety of his being. What that means for us is, yes, when death is introduced, God, who is extremely holy in his entire being, who is life itself, himself is light and life. Do you understand that? When death is introduced, it just devastates whole creation, goes very against not simply God's affection toward his children, but against God's being. It's very, very threat against God's his own being. That is everything God is against. Just trying to convey the idea that death is unnatural, obviously. But at the same time, I want to see God as Father. And God, whose being is really unlike anything we could think or imagine. Really. And death is introduced. You talk about God's outrage. Now, second topic that we learn from the Bible is death has died, right? Preparing for the sermon, I went back and tried to read that wonderful book by John Owen, Death of Death in the Death of Christ. Title says it all, and I tried to read it. About halfway, I just gave up. You know, if you read John Owen, it just tires you out. In the middle of it, I was getting angry. I was angry. Okay, what is the point here? It was just too much stuff. Every single topic is this. But at the end, I was thinking, whatever the efficacy that John Owen was trying to explain, wouldn't it be better to say death died is death in the resurrection of Christ? Of course, death and resurrection of God is Christ is not to be separated. But if you go back and read apostolic preaching in Book of Acts, what do they preach? What do they go around and preach? Do they preach death of Christ? Rarely they do. Talks about death, but the point of whole gospel preaching was actually resurrection of Christ. So I refer to you that John Owen's book, if you dare, then go back and purchase one and try to read it. But 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 10 says this, "But now has been revealed by the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to life through the gospel." Isaiah, 600 years before Christ, 25a says, "He will swallow up death for all time, and the Lord God will wipe tears away from all faces, and he will remove the reproach of his people from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken." Now, what I want you to believe in this section, second section of my sermon is, yes, we are all going to die. True. And yes, death will come and say checkmate at the end, somewhere, somehow, into our lives. But what I want you to believe is that that's basically physical death. But in Christ Jesus, you and I will not taste, experience that death because Christ has abolished death. So, with eyes of faith, even though it seems like death is having final say in our lives, but it's not. Jesus has conquered death. And I want us to believe that. Rather than simply say, Jesus died for me and on the cross and he was raised and I believe and I go to heaven, let us believe in Christ Jesus, in his death and resurrection. Death has died. That's why the euphemism, but reality describing the New Testament believers that we will fall asleep in Christ Jesus. So first topic was, death is unnatural, but let us not simply debate. But see how God is horrified by the introduction of death that destroyed his own son, made in his image, Adam. We don't like Adam because he was the one who introduced death to us. But nonetheless, he was vice regent king, and he was the son of God as well. And second section, without going too much into these quotations of John Owen, simply for us to believe. Death does not have final say so in our lives, but Jesus really, indeed, has conquered death. And as New Testament believers, we will fall asleep in Christ. Now, the last section is 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. And I am going to focus on verse 26. So, if you have that bulletin with you, I want you to look at that verse 26. 1 Corinthians 15, as you know, is the resurrection chapter. But while meditating upon death, I've discovered something that I have not really seen before, at least for me, in verse 26. It says, the last means already Jesus killed death in his death and resurrection, but it's not yet. There's job to be done. And the last, obviously, we are looking at Jesus' second coming. So last, what's the next word? Last, enemy. That caught my eyes. Death is inevitable, right? We all die physically. But we are not going to die in the sense that unbelievers die. But we have hope in Christ. But talking about death, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Apostle Paul writes, in the inspiration of the Spirit, death is not simply to be accepted in a fatalistic sense. But do you see here in the word enemy, God's hostility and hatred toward this thing called death? Once again, do not think of God as emotionless, harsh judge only. He's a judge, he's a ruler, yes, but he's not emotionless in this context. It says, the last enemy to be dealt with, to be understood, to be acknowledged. No, it does not say. The Bible says the last enemy to be destroyed is death. So I was reading this verse, thinking about death, and I've never thought about it in this way. Of course, we know death and resurrection of Christ and all that, but I've never sensed hostility and anger of God like this ever in my life. The last enemy to be destroyed is death. The time's almost up. But according to the Bible in Revelations, at the last moment, I told you how the Bible is obsessed with death. From beginning to the end, it's about death story. So, obviously, life story as well goes hand in hand from the beginning to the end. But today, just death. But toward the end of human history, when Christ returns, this is what happens, it says, Bible says. In Revelations 20:14 says, then death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. What that really means is that death itself will be finally wiped out, or die is death when Christ returns. And the result of that, as promised in Isaiah, Bible says, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. So death was introduced, unnaturally, yes, but that death has been dealt with real another death by the Son of God, Jesus Christ. And it remains to be seen, but that death will be finally destroyed and wiped out from creation by the returning King, our Lord Jesus Christ, is the teaching of the Bible on the topic of death. As New Testament believers, let us believe that. And let us say this with other believers throughout the centuries. Jesus said at the end, surely I am coming soon. And we respond to that and say, amen. Come, Lord Jesus. We live in 21st century America. Most powerful country in the world. Really, most powerful country in the world. Most affluent country in the world. But throughout centuries, past 2 millennia, most of the believers wanted to be with the Lord because life was really bad and harsh and hard. Let us have that kind of right perspective. We live here in pilgrimage on the way to our home, heavenly city. Let us follow our Christ, Lord and Savior, taking up our own cross. Let us pray now. Lord, if there are people who are not convinced about their salvation, speak to them and tell them, only in Christ you will find your soul's rest. For those of us, to us who look, the world looks more glamorous than it should, speak to us the gospel. Speak to us the cross of the Christ who has died upon the cross, so that we may not be caught up in this world, but, Lord, fix our eyes on the cross, Jesus Christ, who endured the cross for the joy that is set before him. Help us live our lives faithfully, wisely, in light of death, but holding firmly on the death and resurrection of Christ. Help our hearts desire to be, oh God, come back soon. I desire to be with you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.